Hello, hello, Travis Perry here, Travis's Big Idea Podcast. Kind of excited to talk to you today. I have original story idea that I'm offering up for discussion and for use if anyone uses it. Based on the idea, I have more ideas than I can ever use. I do hope someday that I'll become more productive as a writer and get more ideas out. But in the meantime, it'd be nice if other people picked up on some of the things I think are cool ideas and wrote them. I would be actually thrilled. That would be great. The first part of this series, I floated a story world that I called Spheres that includes some magic based on the four fundamental forces of nature. The second idea revolved around three story world ideas that relate to coronavirus. We could say the first is fantasy, the second is science fiction, near future science fiction, and this third one is spiritual warfare fiction. It has to do with, I'm calling it Agent Angel. So what does that mean? Well, it would be an angel that has the role of infiltrating demons. Now, why would that happen? And what made me think of that idea? So what made me think of the idea actually is the Bible. There's a passage in 1 Kings 22 that I'd like to explain that explains why I came up with this idea. So there's a time in the Bible that there's a good king in Judah called Jehoshaphat and an evil king in Israel called Ahab. Ahab infamously is married to Jezebel, perhaps the worst queen, according to the Bible, who does horrible things, kills Bible prophets, etc., etc. But Jehoshaphat apparently has the idea that he wants to unite his kingdom with Israel, and the two of them should come in a united kingdom again, which they were at the time of Solomon, because of the fact that there's marriage in between the families and shared projects. And the king of Israel wants to have an attack against the Syrians, or they're called Aram in Bible times, where Damascus was still the name of their capital city. So it's a little bit familiar with modern times. But the two kings have this joint plan, and Ahab calls together prophets to ask them whether the plan will succeed or not. And there's 400 prophets, according to this account in the Bible, and all 400 say, yes, go up, you're going to succeed. But Jehoshaphat looks around and says, well, none of these guys are prophets of Jehovah. Do you happen to have a prophet of Jehovah that we could consult and ask what he thinks? And Ahab responds with, oh, well, there is this one guy, but I can't stand him because he always says bad things about me. And that one guy is someone the Bible identifies as Micaiah. And Micaiah, when called because of Jehoshaphat, wants to hear from him. What he says at first is, oh, yeah, go up, just like everybody else says. He says, yeah, go up. But in fact, Ahab realizes he's not saying what he really thinks. He's not telling the truth. And when he does actually come clean and tells what he really thinks, he says that you go up, you're going to be destroyed. And then he adds to that, and he makes this interesting Bible statement that I'm going to read. So Micaiah said, this is in 1 Kings 19, 22 through 23. Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, in what way? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours and has declared disaster upon you. So, unexpected Bible passage. It may be somewhat unexpected to find God in counsel with spiritual beings. There are people, of course, who believe that this is something that God does routinely. I don't know that God necessarily needs it. God's all wise, all knowing, according to the Bible. He doesn't need the advice of angels or anyone else. But if God actually asked Adam's opinion of what to name animals in Genesis chapter 2, it certainly maybe isn't that surprising that God would ask angels what they think, even if he doesn't need their advice. So it may well be that God routinely asks angels what they think. I don't know if this is how things work. Generally, God is not, I think it's a mistake to think of God as a heavenly CEO that runs everything through angels. I think God's capable of doing things directly without angels and knowing things without being informed by angels. But it's interesting to think of these spiritual beings, also known as angels, around God's throne and what they might do in participating in God's plans. Apparently, they do have specific roles from the things the Bible says. The angels being involved, that's not so surprising. But what's more surprising is this thing that they do. You know, we think of angels as sinless, and we think of lying as a sin, and this angel's proposing to tell a lie, and God's like, yeah, go ahead, lie to them. Lie to the prophets. Go to these prophets and put a word in their mouth that is a false prophecy so that Ahab will be destroyed. Now, Ahab being destroyed relates to previous statements in Kings about the things that Ahab had done. He had set up the worship of Baal. He had stolen a vineyard from a guy named Naboth. And his wife had him killed. He had done a lot of actual terrible things. And the Bible prophesied that he would be defeated in battle and killed for this reason. So this is a result of prophecy, but this idea that he has to be specifically tricked to make the prophecy come true, that's kind of a shocking thing. I'm a Bible teacher at the church I attend, and one of the things that I would do as a Bible teacher, I would point out that this is just one passage. You don't build a doctrine off one passage. Then there's no other passages I can think of that seem to indicate angels tell lies. So there's maybe several ways we can explain this. Maybe this is a unique situation that only happened once. Or maybe actually Micaiah is not really telling the truth. Maybe he did not see this scene happen in heaven. Now, the context doesn't seem to indicate that, but it at least is a logically possible answer that he didn't really see it. He's just saying that he saw it. And there, of course, there's another possibility that this is something that does happen, that God does at times tell angels to lie, and somehow they can do it without sinning because it's part of a military deception. And that's seen exceptional or different from lying for other reasons. Now, I don't really think that's the case. I wouldn't build a doctrine off that. I wouldn't say that's what the Bible teaches. But the rules of speculative fiction are different than the rules of Bible exposition. If we really want to explain what the Bible says, that's one thing. But if we want to just imagine in a story, what if, well, what if idea, what if angels do this? And there's another aspect to it. So the other prophets that Ahab called on, the 400 of them, were not prophets of Jehovah, or else Jehoshaphat wouldn't have asked, where is a prophet of Jehovah? So they either were completely imaginary, you know, that they got their prophecies from nowhere, or they were in contact with evil spirits. In fact, there are parts of the Bible that associate demons with idols and with the worship of idols. So if that's the case, if demons are associated with that, then what's really happening is the angels pretending to be a demon, or the spirit of a demon pretending to be the spirit of the gods from the point of view of the false prophets. So he's not only telling a lie, he's assuming a false identity. The angel is, that is, that went around to these false prophets. So that's kind of a really surprising idea. And I don't know if that's going to has any connection to something that angels really do or routinely do. That inspires a concept of spiritual warfare. What if not only angels sometimes impersonate demons to human beings for their own purposes, what if angels actually infiltrate bands? Well, I don't know if band is the right word. What do you call it? A horde, a band, the host of demons, a swarm of demons. I don't know what the right word is. But let's say that angels do infiltrate these demons and are able to pretend that they are a demon themselves for their own purposes. Now, that would be kind of a weird, interesting idea. I think it's kind of cool. It has potential. Why would an angel do this? Well, do they need intelligence on what the demons are doing? I think it's the nature of God to know everything, right? So he doesn't really need intel, though perhaps angels need intel. Perhaps God doesn't necessarily share with the angels everything that he knows. So perhaps the angels think that they have to infiltrate the demons to find out what the demons are up to. I mean, I don't know. I doubt that, kind of, but I really don't know. But maybe it's more directly like what we see in this passage, that the angels infiltrate the demons in order to influence them. Now, why would an angel influence a demon? Well, sometimes maybe the demons actually work the will of God in things we wouldn't expect. And that may be a little puzzler, but I think that may be possible. Like, say, the crucifixion of Christ, certainly demonic powers were enjoying doing that, or they were behind it. However, they were serving God's purposes ultimately. So if I did this as a story setting, I think I would have to give a strong caveat to it and say, you know, like in an afterword or something, that this is just speculative and we don't know that the Bible's like this. I'm not trying to establish a new doctrine or anything like that. However, if we were to speculate, what would it be like if we were to use some of the ideas of an angel among demons? It would remind us of stories of secret agents or deep undercover agents, DE agents that have infiltrated drug smuggling organizations, this kind of thing, where they don't want to commit crimes, they don't want to do drugs, but they want to still be accepted among the others who are doing terrible things. Except the stakes would be different because an angel is an immortal being from what we know from the Bible, and human beings are not. So the stakes with a DEA agent is death. But what would be the stakes for an angel? How could things go wrong for the angel? Now, there's several ideas I have about that I'm not necessarily going to say here, because it's up to you, a person who listens to this, to come up with your own thoughts, what you think would be stakes. But it'd be quite interesting to put this out there as a story idea, and that there would be some kind of real potential for failure, something to really go wrong for the angel if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Maybe it could be captured and tortured, held prisoner, or something else. Another idea that I had that's unrelated in a way is I suggested back in a blog post I wrote in 2012 that angels might have technology. And one of the things that you might think they do is they're described in the Bible as having clothing. And also the angel that keeps Adam and Eve out of the garden at the end of Genesis chapter 3 is said to have a flaming sword. Now, a sword is a product of technology. It's relatively simple technology from our point of view, but it's a forge, it's iron, you got to hammer it out. The clothing that angels are said to wear is also a product of technology, a loom, and you have to be able to weave, for human beings to build those things. Now, maybe angels don't need that technology. Maybe they can do it with the equivalent of magic. They can just summon in their minds at such things. Or maybe such things are kind of metaphorical in nature, that they don't really exist. Though, of course, it's strange that people who see angels see at least the robes, or the tunic that they wear. So it seems that they really do have this thing. So where does it come from? That's the question. Where does it come from? Do they make it? If they make it, maybe they make other things. Maybe they make even communication devices or transportation devices that we can't imagine what they are. But if we're going to create a story world in which angels act as agents and infiltrate demons, maybe we'd want to throw in some technology as well, some angelic technology, maybe something that allowed them to disguise themselves. It just might make it more interesting, a more detailed story world, and it would be a completely different take on spiritual warfare than what Christian folks usually do. And of course, I'm a Christian writer. I was a science fiction fantasy and written a couple short stories of horror. I'm offering these ideas up mainly to my fellow Christian writers. Of course, this podcast might have listeners that aren't Christian folks or Christian writers. And of course, you're free to do with it as you will. But I'm just saying that sometimes Christians write about spiritual warfare, but we don't do this. And maybe you might want to. So what I'm offering here is really, it's an inspirational idea. You don't have to copy what I'm doing. If you do copy it and make your own story and do well, hey, just let me know. I'd be curious, be actually happy to have helped somebody succeed in something. But if you just are inspired by it, it's worth doing. It's worth talking about. Note that Billy Graham wrote a book in 1975 that he called Angels, God's Secret Agents. Of course, he's referring to angels being infiltrated among human beings, not among demons, but the idea is similar. Note that I did not know about Billy Graham's book. Of course, 1975 was a long time ago. It's been around a long time, but I did not know about Billy Graham's book until after I wrote my article, and I was doing some research after the fact to see what kind of articles linked back to an article for Speculative Faith about this, and also, of course, doing a podcast. It wasn't until after writing it and doing research after the fact that I've discovered. So anyway, if you think that this is an interesting idea, you'd like to comment, there's a comment section with this podcast, and feel free to comment. If you want to hear more of what I say, more of my crazy ideas or disjointed thoughts, feel free to like this and follow. And I really appreciate the fact that you're listening, and God bless you. Have a great day.